Hey, thanks for tuning in. Carm Capriotto, so glad you are coming to the well right here for the best aftermarket talk radio that we work hard to go beyond your expectations each and every week. Great stories that are relevant to your continued growth as a leader and aftermarket professional. Such interesting times, and I hope you're safe and doing all that you can to stay healthy. Today's episode, I'm with Dave Shadeen, a business coach from CompuTrek Group. David has a powerful message for you, a very, very good message. We're talking about the fear-based scarcity mindset that can plague the best of us. If it remains unchecked, it will derail most business owners by undervaluing themselves. The opposite of this has the same effect, too. You can be too arrogant when you're overconfident, and you've got to balance things out. You're going to love this episode because this is why I podcast. Hey, thanks to Napa Insurance for their continued support. You know, the Napa Expo, I think you know this by now, it's been officially rescheduled February 1st through the 4th, 2021. I do know that Las Vegas is going to be painted blue and gold as Team Napa puts on the fabulous event that was planned prior to the COVID-19 pandemic. Napa wants to thank everyone for understanding the event postponement, and they send well wishes to you and your families. Rest assured, Team Napa is as energized and invested as ever in Napa Expo, and we look forward to hosting you in February 2021. Hey, here's an industry first. Apex announces the first Shop Owner, Technician, and Service Advisor of the Year Awards. How cool is that? They will be presented at Apex 2020. Nominate a deserving peer or yourself. Go to aapexshow.com/serviceawards for all the info. Nominating ends July 31st, 2020. I'll put the link in these show notes.
What happens is the emotional intelligence and net profit are connected, because if you have somebody who's great at sales, they can sell a lot, but they didn't sell it profitable, you're going to hurt. They sold a lot, but they gave away the farm to do it because they have high need to be liked by somebody and don't want to get a no.
In this episode, Dave Shadeen and I get into a heavy discussion that will, I believe, have a big impact on you. Now, before we start, have you had a chance to watch Aftermarket Weekly live on Tuesdays at noon Eastern Time? Well, you can find the broadcast at aftermarketweekly.com. It's a fun 25-minute fast-paced magazine show that includes a shop tour. Join Tom Hamm and myself and watch all the back episodes. My guest is a coach and former shop owner, Dave Shadeen. Dave has 40-plus years of experience in the automotive field. He's got extensive General Motor University automotive and business management training, and he's a graduate of the Arizona Automotive Institute. His full bio and the key talking points can be found on the website, remarkableresults.biz/E555. Do you need to face your fears and understand the depth of your ego? It's a big problem we face, the desire to go from technician to shop owner and believe you know everything and never face the facts that you don't know what you don't know. Dave and I, well, we talk about the truth behind overconfidence and arrogance. I believe you can agree that we are all victims of whatever circumstance we choose to put ourselves into. The sooner we understand that, the better off we are at handling difficult situations. Hey, I'm so glad you're coming to the Trough of Wisdom for the best aftermarket talk radio that strives to beat your expectations each and every week. Hey, a warm welcome to Dave Shadeen from CompuTrek Group. Hello, David.
Hey, well, thank you for having me on, Carm. I've been hearing so much about the podcast and seeing some of the shows and just impressed. And I love your impact to the automotive community and what you do. So thank you for this honor and privilege to be here.
Thanks so much, man. I'll send you a check. That was so nice. it was just great. Dave is a coach, loves what he does, and he's a former shop owner. 9 years you had a shop in Washington.
Yes. Got my degree from the University of Hard Knocks.
Yeah. Okay.
To get there. It's amazing how sometimes theory just doesn't implement like you think it will. You got to adjust and dance in the moment, so I speak.
And you and I chatted on a couple of weeks ago, and you dropped a name of someone that I know, Jude Larson, who's been on the show, been a great contributor to the podcast. He worked for you for a while, huh?
Yeah, he was my assistant manager at Dave's Auto Repair in Gig Harbor, Washington. And he was also worked with me in CompuTrek for a season. Sharp individual, intelligent. He's got a lot of wisdom in life as well. High respect for him.
you impress me about your purpose is to support and transform businesses and transform lives in the marketplace. When we talked, I got a very emotional connection to your purpose and your message and how you go about things. And I said, I got to have him on the show. Let's try to rekindle that discussion. And I think our audience is going to benefit immensely. One of the things that I love that you said, loved it, was the victim excuse. And I'm going to tell you, every time I just had a couple of shop owners on, and they didn't say the words victim excuse, but I just kept hearing that over and over again. Why I can't do this? Why I can't do that?
Yeah, exactly. You know, in my own life, when life was a major challenge for me and kind of, in a sense, blew up for me, you know, with some things in life. And I realized as I started down a personal development journey, being self-aware, first thing I had to do is I had to listen to how I was talking. And I discovered, oh my gosh, I'm like a seventh level victim black belt. You know, I've got all these excuses and the end, that's all they were. And I had somebody speak into my life and he said, Dave, at the end of a sentence, at the end of a statement, at the end of a question, did it uplift you, give you life, and move you forward? And I had to really look at and then he said, the real key, Dave, is not to listen after you've said it. Personal development, the real choice is to listen before you're going to say something. And at the end of that sentence, where are you going to be? And it's about results. I love the name of your show, Results, because it's really about the results that we're going to produce inside before they ever come out have more to say with what we're going to do.
Yeah, I love what you just said about listening to yourself before you say anything. I mean, I was so guilty of just talking and not even sure I've got to say something. So say something, no matter, you know, it took me a whole bunch of years, Dave, to realize that the person who was listening to me was doing one of these, he's spewing again, and he doesn't have a clue what he's saying. It took me years later to realize that I didn't have it all together, even though I thought I did. And it took some big moves in my world to study listening, to study leadership, and to go to emotional intelligence training, and to become self-aware, and to gain, you know, I almost think that you sometimes have some confidence you really don't have. You think you have it, but you really don't.
You know, it's funny. There's a lot of phrases around confidence. One of them that really speaks to me is one man's confidence is another man's arrogance. You know, somebody who's in a place of beats themselves up all the time and they hear somebody speak with confidence, well, that guy's sure arrogant. And I've said that about people. And then later on, I went, that was confidence. That wasn't arrogancy. Now, have I experienced arrogancy? Yeah. Have I been there myself? Absolutely.
We just came back from a funeral. The eulogy was spoken by his three children, an introvert, a quiet giant, and all of his unbelievable qualities of caring and helping came out, even though he didn't say a whole lot in his life. So interesting. So is ego fear-based?
It is. I liken fear-based to the mindset of scarcity mindset. There is a healthy fear, or I don't believe we would have been created with the ability to feel fear. You know, the burner's hot, caution. There's a healthy fear. You know, the edge of this cliff, it's a long way down. There's a healthy fear. And there's a gifting of understanding of fear and how to use that as a motivation. The problem with any one gift, whether it's a strength of any kind, most of our weaknesses are an overextension or misuse of a strength. The healthy awareness of a fear and apprehension, however you want to language that, overextended now becomes to... it's a fear base that drives your life. And ego is around, I've got to be better. I've got to elevate my virtue. And ultimate ego is, I'm going to elevate my virtue and I'm going to lower your virtue of a person, place, or thing so that I look on top, because I need to be on top, because if I'm not, I have no value. And so the only way that a lot of people, and myself included for years, and I'm still overcoming that, is my value. If I look to compare myself to somebody else, I now have a either or, which is a scarcity mindset. When I don't have a realization of the real intrinsic value of who I am, and as I coach, who people are uniquely, wonderfully gifted and created and who they are. And that's the passion I love about coaching. You know, it's funny, making an auto repair shop, it's a walk in the park. It's a piece of cake. Did I struggle at it? Yeah.
But fixing the person is the hard part.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly. You know, I mean, you go around the mountain, it's like, oh my gosh, is this deja vu? No, I'm just going around the mountain again. And what I found is that if I went around the mountain and I didn't gain a new skill set, I'm at the same elevation. But if I go around the mountain and I have a new skill set, eventually I get to the top of that mountain. I discover there's a bigger mountain I'm going up after that, but that's the only way you get to the top of the mountain is if you're going to go around the mountain, learn a new skill so your next time you're a little bit elevated up the mountain.
Great visual. When you work with a shop owner, I can't help but think that the wives or the female clients may be easier to deal with.
They're easier in some aspects and a little bit more challenging in other aspects. They have an intuition, and I don't know if you notice this, I'm a guy. And so while I can understand to some level the female intuition, it's still elusive. So with that is the male ego, and I have one that I'm still overcoming. And so part of that is I know that language and I know the thinking. And when I address it with a shop owner, it's not a place to point a finger at them and say, see, you just got an ego. Because you point somebody's problem out, they don't change. They just don't. They have to self-discover it. And that with the female, where I found they have an intuition deeper in relationship, in a different level of emotional intelligence than guys have for emotional intelligence. And sometimes they've had a past where there's been some turmoil in their life, up to and including trauma, and that taints their intuition, and they don't want to move off of it, and they're stuck in a fear that can be a little bit challenging to take the wife who is the office manager bookkeeper and not wanting to spend any money for fear of losing stuff because she had a history of something being lost in her life, and now she wants to protect that and not realize that what she's protecting is creating the very scarcity that she doesn't want.
But are they easier clients to work with, or are they, do they help you shore up the husband issue?
Yes, to both of those. I'll start here. As a service manager in Gig Harbor, Washington, I had hired a female technician. What a breath of fresh air. She would mess something up and not purposely, just inexperience. And she and I say, okay, well, where'd you go? And we'd walk through the process. And she goes, oh, okay, so I just need to do this, right? I said, yeah. No excuses. She doesn't have a failure ego. And I've experienced that with more with women. They don't, oh, I did that wrong. Okay, what do I need to do to it right?
Does she recognize that her husband does?
Yes.
Can she help you get him off that cliff?
In a roundabout way. Usually that conversation is more of a private conversation. It can be disrespectful and dishonoring because she's put up with it for so long. She's frustrated. And she, when she voices it to me with his presence, it comes across accusatory. And that's not going to serve her to be in that environment to do that.
I respect that.
It's funny. I had one. We do the assessments that we talked to shortly offline about job fit, job matching, and behavioral traits. And I did this assessment on a shop owner up in Oakville, Ontario. And he said, I totally disagree with this assessment. This is not me at all.
Hang on a minute. I've been there exactly in that spot.
So I just asked him one question. I said, so should we go have a conversation with your wife to see if that's true? And he goes, oh, okay.
So let me tell the audience this really quick thing. It was almost identical to a DISC test. It was called a PDP. Identical. And we went into this room, and this PhD was there to go over the test with us and help us be better people that we're hiring. And we opened up the envelope, started to read. And I'm shaking my head. My elbows on the desk, my face in my hands, and I'm saying, "Oh my God, no!" And this PhD, Dr. Rosine, never forget her. She comes up. She goes, "What's wrong?" I says, "These are the things that my wife keeps saying about me all the time, and I keep telling her she's wrong." Learned an awful lot about me.
You know, you said something earlier, and I want to address it. One of the number one things when it comes to the ego is when we let go of that. And I have found in my life, and I'll verse it this way because it's a little bit more humorous, I have found that for my life to move forward in any element, whether it's in relationship, whether it's in task, whether it's in career, business, entrepreneurial, whatever it is, for me to move forward, I go on a specific diet. And it starts out tasting very bitter, but it ends very sweet. But it's a specific diet, and it's a slice every time. It's called humble pie. And when I eat humble pie, the more I eat of it, the more I move forward. And it's what I've found is that humble pie, it's that moment of surrender to the what is, my failure, my shortcomings, my inability, lackability, whatever that looked like to produce a result. And all it means is that I didn't produce a result, period. If I put anything else on that as a meaning, emotional meaning, self-worth and value, I've now created a victim story. If I just leave it at result and just say, hey, this is the result I produced. I produced A, but I want B. What do I need to do to get to B from now, from here on out? When I surrendered to the what is, I could see the what could be.
How do you eat humble pie?
Sometimes your wife serves it up. Sometimes your clients and customers serve it up, your kids.
But don't you have to be willing to listen? Don't you have to be open? Don't you have to be less vulnerable?
You do. And it comes down to being self-aware. It's really back to personal development.
It goes back to emotional intelligence, which is maybe one of the things that we should be talking about. To the audience, I've done three episodes with Dan Taylor on EQ, emotional intelligence. Really, I mean, this is almost like a slice in or a book end to this episode. And I have to tell you, I think it's becoming more important than ever that the great leaders in our industry have to get up to that level and become self-aware and attend some EQ classes.
It's something that our industry probably, and I call it ours because we're both impacted. I mean, I started at 10 years old. I worked at my grandfather's station up in Alaska, you know, Last Chance gas station. So I've been in this automotive industry for a long, long time. It's my industry. It's our industry. And our industry has been missing for probably 25 to 30 years emotional intelligence, leadership, and personal development. I'm going to suggest that it is not a secret on how to have a profitable shop. It's not a secret how to hire top performers. It's not a secret how to wild and romantic, you know, God-centered level 10 relationship with your spouse. It's not a secret. The problem with how-tos is people don't do what they're told. You know, I love the book by Brian Klemmer. If how-tos were enough, we would all be skinny, rich, and happy.
Hi, Carm here, and I want to talk to you about the NAPA Auto Care Center program for health insurance. We've all heard the reports about the rising cost of health insurance, but you'll be happy to know I'm here with really good news. The NAPA Insurance Center is now offering the NAPA National Health Program, and it's saving NAPA Auto Care Centers and their employees money, lots of money. In fact, in the first 90 days following the launch of the program, NAPA stores and auto care centers and their employees saved over $2.7 million. That's all thanks to the NAPA Insurance Center's partnership with United Healthcare. It gives auto care centers access to the national large group rates on medical insurance with premiums discounted up to 30%. Now, these rates are based on the collective purchasing potential of 22,500 NAPA locations, including both NAPA Auto Parts stores and NAPA Auto Care Centers. And listen to this. The news just keeps getting better. You can choose from four excellent United Healthcare medical plans with varying levels of coverage and deductibles to meet a range of needs. All plans are PPOs, preferred provider organizations, with comprehensive coverage. Because of the NAPA Insurance Center's partnership with Aflac, you can have access to supplemental insurance benefits, including disability, accident, hospital, and more, all at a NAPA-only discount, up to 35%. The NAPA Benefits Center can help you with other group benefits, too, including group life insurance, retirement, HSAs, and more. NAPA's National Health Benefit Program is just one of the many reasons to become part of the NAPA Auto Care family, the largest network of independent automotive repair shops in the country. Talk to your servicing NAPA store. For more detailed information about the NAPA National Health Program, visit the NAPA Benefits Center at www.napabenefitscenter.com or call the NAPA Benefits Center at 844-627-2123. We can read every how-to book in the world, but we seem to never change.
Yep.
I mean, why are we reading the words on the page and they not mean anything to us? Why aren't we deciding that every two or three pages, damn it, I've got to learn something? Every four or five pages, I've got to write a note to make change. Why invest the time if you weren't going to do something?
The personal development realm really comes from a place of people don't change until they see the prices they're paying don't outweigh the benefits that they're getting. And until a person sees what it's costing them, not the price they're paying, but what it's costing them in relationship, in livelihood, in peace and joy, and just happiness on this planet and fulfilling the purpose. Until they see that, their frustration, it creates a space for all of the victim and ego stories to exist.
Let's jump into net operating income. And wow, what a change from where our philosophical things have been here. If it's head and heart, you just kind of hit it. Why am I investing time with a coach? Why am I going in every day having a hobby and I can't make any money? So fix the person, fix the business. Is it difficult to take a shop owner who says, okay, Dave, let's have a coaching relationship. I'm sick and tired of being poor and out of money and not meeting payroll. How many clients have you lost because you can't fix the person?
I'll say this. I'm not trying to market CompuTrek in that I want to serve the industry. Our average client gains $200,000 of new gross profit in 12 months from our coaching and training. Whether you're a two-man, three-man shop, 7, 10, we average right around that 200,000. So that's 200s in the middle. We got some at 400, half a million. And we got some that are down at 50 grand, some that had zero. They paid for the coaching.
And that's just gross profit. It doesn't mean that they made a lot of money because they could have been losing their butt because their expenses are out of whack.
Exactly. And so there's three elements of cash flow: sales, gross profit, and net profit. Actually, there's a middle one, expenses. But each one, sales sets up gross profit sets up net profit. And in between, you got to manage your expenses wisely. So what happens is the emotional intelligence and net profit are connected, because if you have somebody who's great at sales, they can sell a lot, but they didn't sell it profitable, you're going to hurt. They sold a lot, but they gave away the farm to do it because they have high need to be liked by somebody and don't want to get a no.
Yeah, a four-hour job they charge too. I get it. I mean, they got the highest labor rate in the county, but they don't have the right hours.
Right. So to answer your question, I've had a few clients that have been stuck in their way. And in one sense, I don't say we parted ways, but we end up with, okay, when you're really willing to change, and you're really willing to take yourself on in your thinking, you don't need a digital inspection. You don't need different work order racks. You don't need rearrange your shop. You don't need to clean your parts department. It's irrelevant. Right now, what you need is you need to get out of a scarcity mindset. And now I'm saying this out loud now, but my coaching with them, I don't ever say you need. I just don't coach that way. I lead them to that. And part of that is I lead them to see. In fact, this is something even viewers now, they can try this. If you're always stuck in the same situation, why do you keep choosing that? Well, I don't, Dave. Somebody else does this. No. Why do you keep choosing that? At some level, you create the very thing you don't want. You create your own objections. Your service advisors create your own objections. How do I know that? Because I did that. 1.67 hours per repair order. In 4.5 days, went to 3.3 in a Chevrolet dealership and never looked back. It was never my customer. It was never the economy. It was never anything. It was a shift in me that actually happened. And when I lead customers or clients to the thought, okay, you chose that thinking, what's the benefit you get out of that? And then they'll give me an answer. I'm like, okay, what's the benefit you get out of choosing that? What's the benefit you get out of that? And it all boils down to, and it comes down to this without getting deep psychological, touchy-feely type stuff, whether it's male or female. In fact, I can't think of one that hasn't, so I'm going to say 100%. It's always come down to self-worth based on some sort of a father wound, some form of a mother wound, a parent wound, some sort of a wound that they made something mean something to them when they're young. Do you realize that the human brain is the synapses that grow from a baby to 5 years old? 60% of the hardwired, and their hardwired synapses in the brain is there about love, about self-acceptance, self-worth, family, communication, emotional intelligence is 60% hardwired in. By the time they're 7 or 8, 80%. By the time you're a teenager, and depending on teenager of your metabolism, it could be 12, it could be 22. The chemical wash happens over the brain and the synapses don't grow as fast. But at that point, you have 95 or more percent, depending on which study you read, you're hardwired in for your self-worth and value. And now you fast forward to my life kind of blew up when I was 50. And I was a nice guy, happy, seemingly happy, knew a lot of people by first name. But what I found is I have brokenness inside of me. And I'd already been coaching for a couple of years. And when I took care of Dave, when I took care of what was broken in me, my clients actually produced more. That's an interesting concept. When a shop owner takes himself on, his people will produce more. I've seen that over and over. It's almost documented. I can show that.
Because it's about them, not you.
Exactly.
That's the joy of being a leader, I think.
Yeah, until you change. And then when you change, you find out, oh, it was about me. You know, I'm reading a book now called Extreme Ownership. These guys own something. I don't even know if my ego could go there.
Well, I tell you, it's a great book. By the way, all the books that Dave has mentioned here, and of course, Extreme Ownership, is on the books page on my website. And you can go there and just see all the books that any guest have mentioned. And they wouldn't mention them if they hadn't read them and they weren't important to them. The father-mother wound thing, without going too deep, man, help me understand how you find that out.
It used to be a struggle to get there, but as I dealt with my own wounds, as I dealt with that and went through some intensive, you know, my first year of leadership and personal development, I put $50,000 into Dave. The next year I put $30,000, the next year I put $20,000. And on average, I put anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000 a year I invest in myself. And that was off an American Express, not a quote or whatever findings that the American Express found. They did a survey. What's the most return on investment you could ever have on this planet? It's not gold, stocks, bonds, businesses, franchise. It's none of that. The best return on investment is personal development, invest in yourself. And so when I started investing in myself, I started shifting and changing things I thought were just a phenomena in life, a reoccurrence that this is my fate. I can't tell you how much fate I self-created because of that thinking. And it came from a father wound. It came from an abandonment that I gave it a meaning that wasn't even a truth. But at 2.5, 3 years old, when your father leaves, it's like, we don't go to school for emotional intelligence at 2.5 or 3 years. Okay, well, if your dad leaves, don't worry, it doesn't mean what you think it's going to mean. No, it took me 50 years to figure it out. And life eventually allowed me to figure it out. And in a sense, I waited for transformation. I could have had it in my 20s, but I waited. And so I coach now on being proactive. Go after it. Play a bigger game in here. Play a bigger game in here. Before you play a bigger game out there, play a bigger game. Challenge yourself to be the best version of yourself possible, the best bankable you possible.
There's no doubt that the top 5% in our industry are listening to this saying, okay, tell me something new. I get it, Dave. And every time I spend time with the top 5, 10, whatever the number is, but the great leaders of our industry that are growing, adding shops, that are speaking, that are coming on the podcast, that are becoming coaches themselves in a part-time basis for other coaching companies, they'll be the first ones to admit that they fixed themselves. They became a CEO instead of it just being a hobby to them. A couple of thoughts that went through my head as we kind of look maybe to wrap this up. Who's an ideal client for you, Dave?
An ideal client is somebody who truly, truly wants more. I don't care if you're a one-man shop or if you've got 70 shops. Do you truly want more? It's easy for people to say, I want more, but do you truly want more? And so through our interview process, and we get to the point, do they really want more? And I'm refining that purpose, that more and more. I got a lot of people who put a good face on that I've met over the years who say they want more, answered all the questions right because they're really good at answering questions and making somebody happy based on their answers. And that's ticking a skill set on my part. But the ideal client is somebody who wants more, somebody who is, as you said earlier, sick and tired of frustrated with their staff, with their net profit, of not having money at the end and not realizing more of who they are and their purpose and why they're even here.
You and I talked an awful lot about assessments, huge in my book. We had just mentioned a few minutes ago the assessment that I took that I said, oh, this can't be me, but it was. And once I learned to accept what the assessment said, I can then build on my leadership and cover my weaknesses once I knew all of that. Give us a couple of minutes on it, and then would you come back? Can we do a whole show on behaviors and assessments?
Absolutely. The assessment process I'm going to talk about is unique assessment. It's a job fit. Same company that has the disc is the company we use for this. They bought another assessment company and merged them together. But this particular assessment is a job fit. It measures somebody in three different ways. It measures them in thinking around solution. How solution oriented are they? Because what's going to affect results? Your ability to produce a solution. It's not just that they can do math or English or the rest of that stuff. It's where does it come in the place of finding solution? Then it measures them in 9 behavioral traits. How are they going to produce in that position? The scientific study that went into these 9 behaviors, not all the 9 behaviors in the human condition, but these 9 behaviors for your pace, your decision-making, your subjective, objective thinking, these are going to affect results more than personality ever will. Personality tests, they're great, and they can help you identify and understand your personality, but they don't necessarily tell you how you're going to produce, the results that you're going to do. And so these 9 behavioral traits, we have a top performer pattern for a top performer service advisor, a service advisor assistant, A-level tech, master level drivability tech, all the way down to the service expediter. We have every position in the automotive or independent auto repair center. Could be in dealerships too. My love and passion is the independent heart and mindset entrepreneurial. And then it measures in occupational interest, you know, of 6 different occupational interests that they spend extensive study to find out that these particular motivations inside of the job will mean somebody will want to do the job. So I heard it first expressed to me that, in a room of people, I'll even ask the question. I said, how many here know how to vacuum? Everybody raises their hand. How many here want to vacuum? And believe it or not, in a room with mixed of women and men, there's at least a half a dozen men raise their hand. They just love vacuuming. I'm one of those, man. I get to see the pattern and I get to see what my results and get. Anyway, I'm a little different. But that assessment process helps an owner understand this is how this person is organically wired. And all you have frustration with them is because you don't understand them. When you understand them, you have a better fit.
I could never find the right person.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm on my 3rd service advisor. Boy, that was the one. I loved his or her smile. They were so good with people, but there was something missing that didn't make it all connect. That's why we have to do assessments. We are a sophisticated business today. We can't ignore the fact that we have to do these things that corporate America is doing because profits are too tough to make. I mean, everything is too thin, razor thin anymore. And the things that we have to do to be successful, manage sales, manage social media, as you say, gross profit, manage all the costs. God, you got to be the HR department, the technology department, hire smarter. I mean, to me, that just makes your life a whole lot easier. Dave Shadeen, CompuTrack Group. Come back and let's do an assessment podcast.
Yes, absolutely.
Appreciate it, Dave.
Carm, it's been an absolute joy and pleasure to get to know you and be here. And I love what you're doing for the industry in connecting. You create the space for transformation to happen in a non-threatening way. I love what you're doing.
Well, you know, to the point, when I think about the 800 plus episodes that are out there, the 450 hours, and I go back and there isn't a podcast that I just don't love, and I don't love the premise of them, and that I don't love the person who came to share to help all ships rise. And when I look at all of that and I said, there's a nugget, you know, listen to learn just one thing. There's a nugget inside of every one of them. And you can do this on your own personal time. I mean, no one has to know that you're studying this stuff, that you're learning, that you're solving a pain point, that you're looking for an insight on something, that you're trying to compare what you're doing to what someone else is doing. And I think that's the beauty of where the podcast has gone from the day 5 years ago that I said, I'm going to interview shop owners to where it is today. So thank you for recognizing that.
Well, thank you, sir. It's been a joy.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.